Let me answer?
Yeah.
All right. Good to be here this evening. Good to see everyone. Wonderful meal, time of fellowship, and we just stand in need of your prayers. And we pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts. We would go from here closer to the Lord than when we came in. That should always be our desire. We'd like tonight to turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. In this chapter, some of the miserable dilemmas that mankind faces in this earthly life are brought forth. It's a very eventful chapter. We see Jesus at work throughout the chapter, manifesting his love, his grace, his mercy, his power, his authority, his sufficiency. And I suppose if you were to write a caption over this chapter, it would be, Jesus is greater than the miseries and the needs of man. And that is still true today. Jesus is still greater than the miseries and the needs of man. We'd like to read verses 43 through 48. I believe the last time we preached in a meeting here, I preached from this passage of Scripture. But in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through verse 48. I got to get to the right chapter. And a woman having an issue, having is continuous, an issue or a flow of blood 12 years. She had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Came behind him, Jesus, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood, that is that continuous flow of blood, stanched or was stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." What we read here is also recorded by Matthew and Mark, I believe, is one of the most beautiful, heart-touching, healing miracles in the Word of God. It is the record of Jesus healing a woman who had a life-changing, life-threatening blood hemorrhage. Though it's a separate record, it's part of the record of a man named Jairus. It's part of that record. Remember, Jairus was the one whom Jesus raised, his 12-year-old daughter. And I don't think it's a coincidence, and it's a different message, but I'll just mention it. I don't think it's a coincidence that this woman had a blood disease for 12 years, or blood flow for 12 years, and his daughter was 12 years old. But again, that's a different message. But what is recorded here is a testimony of faith, which we've spoke on these last two evenings. It's a testimony of perseverance as a result of that faith in the face of obstacles. It's the illustration of someone who had a personal experience of Jesus Christ, and a truth that is illustrated all through the Word of God is that there are no hopeless predicaments. Amen. With the Lord. Whatever your situation is, it's not hopeless. Your storm is not hopeless. Your sin is not hopeless. A truth illustrated also time and time again is that you and I need miracles in our lives. We all are miracles. Whether you're saved or unsaved, you're a miracle. You're a miracle of creation. Salvation, of course, you're a miracle of salvation. We're all miracles. And we all need miracles. And Jesus is a power and a sufficiency that is greater than any situation, than any need in our life. And I believe that's illustrated all through the Bible, but it's illustrated here in our text. We open Thursday night with a faith that removes all other options. We need a faith that sees no other option, no other alternative, no other course of action other than Jesus. Last night we saw an example of that kind of faith. The four individuals carrying the paralytic, pressing beyond all obstacles. What was their intent? As we saw last night, it was to get before Jesus. And this evening, we want to look at yet another example of such faith. It'll be much like the message from last night, but the subject is a faith pressing to touch Jesus. Last night, we saw a faith pressing to get before Jesus. This is a faith pressing to touch Jesus Christ. Now, in order to touch someone, you have to draw near. You have to get close. And that was the desire of this woman. But first of all, let's look at the background of the text. Prior to what we read tonight, we see Jesus releasing Mary Magdalene of demons, very beginning of the chapter. And we see much people gathering unto Jesus by the seaside. Jesus gets into a boat. He sits down in that boat and he teaches the people parables. He's a little way out on the water in a boat. And then Jesus and the apostles go to the other side by boat. And on the way, they experience a great storm, and Jesus calmed that storm. And then we see that they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes. There they were met by a man possessed of demons. This man is out of his mind. He is a maniac. He is a man that no one could fix. He was a man who lived in misery, and he made the lives of others miserable. Jesus, we know, would set this man free from the powers of hell, uprooting the misery of his life, making his life new, putting his life back together as only he can. Following that, Jesus passed again over to the other side. So now he's back into Capernaum again, where he had taught the parables. And when he arrived there, in verse 40, it says, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And Mark, in his account, in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, records, much people gathered unto Jesus. So we can get this picture in our minds. Much people have gathered unto Christ. No doubt there's excitement in the air. And out of this multitude that had gathered, a ruler of one of the synagogues, by the name of Jairus, comes upon the scene. He's disturbed. He's weighted down with a burden that is far too heavy for him to bear. And we see him, and he's earnestly begging and pleading with Christ to come to his house, because he has a 12-year-old girl that is at the point of death. And he pleads with Jesus. And Jesus begins to head toward the house of Jairus. So you have Jesus, Jairus, and this multitude of people heading toward the house of Jairus. And we read in verse 42, but as he went, the people thronged him. Now don't you think that Jairus, he's in a hurry. He has no time to delay. My 12-year-old girl is so sick that she's going to die. So I imagine he's in a hurry. And I imagine he's thinking, we don't have any time to spare. And I'm sure that he, if he looked around and saw this mob of people, he viewed them as an intrusion. I mean, they're slowing the process down. There's no question about that. He sees them as a disruption at a very inopportune time. And I imagine that he wished that the people would just back off from Jesus so that Jesus could get to his house as quickly as possible. And I'm sure that it was somewhat exasperating to him that all these people were thronging. I'm sure it was somewhat bothersome to Jairus that the crowd was disrupting or at least slowing down the progress to his house. I mean, he had an emergency. He was in desperate need of a miracle. And I believe as the crowd, as Jesus made his way to the house of Jairus, I imagine that the crowd grew. It just kept getting larger and larger and larger. But there came an interruption. The whole procession was interrupted by this unnamed woman who, like Jairus, was in desperate need of a miracle. And again, it's another message, but something to think about. The Lord sends interruptions in our lives, and we need to have a proper view of the interruption. This interruption was really for Jairus. It strengthened his faith when he heard the story of this woman as she's brought to confess. But again, that's a different message. So let's look at the dilemma of this woman. In verse 43, again, she's not identified by her name. She is identified by her problem or her situation. Anytime that you are identified by your problem or situation rather than your name, you've got a big problem. You've got a big problem. This woman has a big problem. Well, what is her problem? Well, she, it says, having, again, that's continuous, an issue, a flow of blood. She had a physical, unnatural flow of blood. Mark, in his account, Mark 5, verse 29, refers to it as a plague. She had a plague. What that means is that what she had was something that tormented her. It was something that was taking a great toll upon her life, upon her body. And Matthew records in Matthew 9, verse 20, that she was diseased. That means that she was ailing. She was contaminated. So we get a little better picture. She was diseased with an issue of blood, Matthew says. Now, this issue of blood seems to be a gynecological flow of blood. And from Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25, this would, of course, made her unclean. It would have made her an outcast from her family and friends and even from the place of worship. So we see this woman, and she is ostracized from society. She's had this for 12 years. There's an appalling loneliness about her life. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that this was a long-standing condition. 12 years. 12 years is a short time if you're healthy. 12 years is a long time if you're sick. 12 years. And this flow of blood that she had for those 12 years was continuous. So with this unnatural bleeding going on for a period of 12 years, there should be no question that this woman was in a very weakened condition. She was in a state of debilitation. Her condition was greatly impaired by this flow of blood. She's basically, after 12 years, is eroding away. But her root problem, and it's important that we always get to the root problem. You know, that's been the problem for people for probably centuries, but at least in my lifetime, decades. People do not deal with the root problem. They put band-aids on symptoms, and band-aids on symptoms fixes nothing. You got to get to the root problem. That's why society will not be fixed. Because politicians or everybody else that thinks they have the answer never gets to the root problem. The root problem is a sin problem.
Amen.
We have to get to the root problem. And the root problem was that this woman had an issue of blood. And this root problem led to other problems, which is always the case. So because of this issue of blood, Mark records in Mark chapter 5, verse 26, that she had suffered many things of many physicians. The physicians aren't her problem, not her root problem. It stems from her root problem. You see, if she didn't have the issue of blood, she wouldn't have the problem with the physicians. So again, you got to get back to the root problem. The physicians with their so-called remedies, again, were not her root problem, but they stemmed from her root problem, which is the issue of blood. Due to this issue of blood, this woman would undergo and was subjected to further hurt and misery. Her life just continually got worse. Some would say, well, that's the physician's fault. No, not really. It goes back to that issue of blood. That's the root problem. So her condition was aggravated by the physicians of men. Also, we read in Mark 5:26 that she had spent all that she had. And in verse 43 of our text, we read that she spent all of her living upon physicians. So her root problem, the issue of blood, caused another problem, which was poverty. Poverty is not her root problem. Her root problem is the issue of blood. Poverty is a result of her root problem. So, in poverty, she has a life of emptiness and basically a life of hopelessness because she's spent everything. But again, this is traced back to her issue of blood. But there's another problem. Mark chapter 5, verse 26 says, "And was nothing better." And in our text, it says in verse 43, "Neither could be healed of any." That's another problem. But it's not her root problem. Her root problem is that issue of blood. You fix that problem, you fix all the other problems. We have to understand that. Because it's easy to deal with symptoms. It's more difficult to get to the root problem. Adding to her anguish and distress and misery was that her hopes, every time she went to a physician, do you not think that she thought, "This is the guy. He can help me. He can help me." And he would give her a different remedy than perhaps the last physician. And she would try it, hoping, "This is the answer." Didn't work. So over and over for 12 years, her hopes and her expectations were crushed. Over and over again. I believe this woman's depressed also. I mean, I would be. 12 years, your hopes and expectations are crushed over and over and over and over again. But again, that's not a root problem. Her root problem is this issue of blood. So for 12 years, she had this hope of getting better. The hope of finding a cure. The hope that one of these physicians can put my life back together. And she went 12 years without a remedy for her real problem, which was this flow of blood. 12 years she was disappointed over and over and over again. We also read in Mark 5, verse 26, not only did she not get better, but it says, but rather grew or gradually became worse. She wasn't getting better. She's getting worse. In other words, her dilemma is intensifying. She is deteriorating further and further and further. She is at a dead end. For 12 years, she's gone to doctor after doctor until eventually she has spent all that she has. Here is a dead end. There's nowhere else to go. If you view this woman, her health is gone. Her money is gone. Every aspect of her life has been affected by this root problem. The issue of blood. She lives a life of anguish. She lives a life of distress. She lives in misery. She lives in heartache. She lives in bankruptcy. She lives in desolation. She is tormented. She is tormented physically. She is tormented socially. She is tormented emotionally. And her very existence is one of suffering. And one of grief. And she's getting worse and worse with each passing day. And there is no remedy. She's gone to every doctor she can think of. And even if there is another doctor, she's out of money. So viewing this woman, we see a picture of desperation. She's desperate. But this unnamed woman is not unlike many today. Her life really describes most people today. It really does. I'm not talking about God's people necessarily, but people of the world. And oh, how many people's lives are filled with difficulties and problems and sorrows and heartaches and emptiness. In one vain attempt after another, leading to a dead end, leading to one dead end after another, and getting worse and worse and worse. That might describe someone's life here, I don't know. But it certainly describes a lot of lives. So let's follow this woman in her pursuit of Christ. Mark says in chapter 5, verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. When she had heard of Jesus. So there's this woman who felt hopeless and unworthy and lonely and alienated. And she heard of Jesus. There's this woman with an enormous problem, with a very desperate need. She's burdened down. She's hurting. She's at a dead end in her life. And she heard of Jesus. 12 years. I would imagine after 12 years, now that she's getting worse and she's out of money, she's tired of the way her life is. You know what? When the Lord saves us, that's where He brings us. And you know something else? There's a lot of God's people who need to get tired of the way their life is. Because it doesn't have to be that way. She heard of Jesus. Tired of the way her life is, she no doubt wanted more than anything to be freed of this issue of blood. I just want to be freed from this flow of blood. She heard of Jesus. What do you think she heard? What do you think she heard? Well, I believe she probably heard of His love, His compassion, His kindness for the unworthy. She probably heard of His power to do the miraculous, to do what no one else could. She heard of the one who could do what none of those physicians could do. She heard of how He could do the impossible and the unheard of. She may have heard of how He delivered those who were under the dominion of demonic powers. Perhaps how He had cleansed lepers. How He had healed and raised the diseased and the infirm. Perhaps she heard how He had given sight to blind eyes, and hearing to deaf ears, and strength to crippled limbs. She heard of Jesus. She heard of an emancipator and a heart and mind and life fixer. And I want you to know tonight that there is an emancipator. There is one who can fix the heart and the mind and the life.
Amen. Amen.
And His name is Jesus.
Amen.
She heard of Him. And hearing of Him, perhaps she began to think, this one named Jesus, He can cure me. He can cure me. He can release me. He can set me free. This one named Jesus, I believe He can probably put my life back together. He can fix me. He can make me whole. And from Mark's account, chapter 5, verse 28, where she said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." That's what she believed. What did she believe about Jesus? She believed, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. I'll be what 12 years of physicians could not make me be, if I can just touch his clothes. So what did she believe? She believed, again, what we just stated. But she believed that this one called Jesus could do what 12 years of time could not do. She believed that this one called Jesus could do what 12 years of physicians could not do. 12 years of remedies could not do. She believed that this one called Jesus could do what money could not buy. She believed what she heard concerning Jesus. And as a result, we read in verse 44, came. She believes. And believing, she comes to Jesus Christ. I believe she had this faith. I have no other option. I have no other alternative. I have no other course of action. I've got to get to Jesus, because I just know if I can touch his clothes, I'll be whole. So as a result of that belief, as a result of what she heard, she came. She believed, and the desire filled her soul. And she wanted to meet him. She wanted to see him. If you can get close enough to touch someone, you're going to see him. She wanted to see him. She wanted to touch him. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. This woman, again, has had her hopes crushed for 12 years. Matthew, in his account, Matthew 9, 21, "For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." In order to do that, she has to get close to him. So what is she saying? She is saying, I've got to get so close to him that I can reach out and touch him. That needs to be our desire. Pressing toward Jesus to touch him. So she longs to get so close that she can touch him. No one else could help her. She knew that. He was her only hope. No other option. No other alternative. No other course of action. And she knew it. And as we've stressed the last two nights, we need to know that as well. The multitude, they're thronging around Christ. They're on their way to the house of Jairus. She's longing to be whole. She is persuaded that he's able to make her whole. And she knew, if I can just get through that mob of people, which is not going to be any easy task, and touch him, I'll be whole. Faith caused her to be determined. Yes, there's hundreds of people probably thronging around Jesus, but these people aren't going to keep me from him. Amen. We have to have that attitude about everything. Yes, there's an obstacle here, but this obstacle is not going to keep me from him. Yes, there's a difficulty here, but this difficulty is not going to keep me from him because he's my only option. I've got to get to him. Now, I believe that this woman crawled through that crowd of people surrounding Jesus. I base that upon Matthew 9, verse 20. She came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. That's the bottom of his garment. She wasn't standing up when she did that. I picture her crawling through, and Luke in our text, verse 44, refers to this hem as the border of his garment. So picture the scene. People are jostling each other to get near to Christ. They're curiosity seekers. That's all they are. Perhaps mothers are lifting up their children so they can see this one named Jesus, just to get a glimpse. A mob of people is around Jesus Christ. And this woman, very aware of her condition, filled with a desire to be rid of that plague, believe that plague is draining her life away. And she is believing, if I may but touch his clothes, I'll be whole. And we see her. 12 years she's had this flow of blood. She's probably anemic. She's weak. She's frail. Her life is wasting away. She's weary. She's worn. She is desperate for a miracle in her life. And she crawls through that mob of people, believing and knowing with all of her heart, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And we see her pressing on for what she needs in Jesus Christ, saying to herself, Mark says, if I may but touch his clothes. We read in Mark 5:27 that she came in the press, that is the crowd, behind. So she comes from behind Jesus Christ. And in verse 44 of our text, it says she came behind him. So what does that mean? Well, it means that everywhere in front of her was what? People. People. And she had to press through all those people to get to Jesus. And all of these people that are in front of her, they're blocking her way. They are impeding her from getting to the one that she just knew. He can heal me. He can heal me. And they're blocking her way. As we said last night, there will always be something that'll block your way. Always. But we need this faith. He's my only option. I have nowhere else to go. And you just keep moving in the direction of Christ. Just like the four last night with the paralytic, she's saying, I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to him. He is my only hope. So she struggles through that crowd, not allowing the people, not allowing her pain, not allowing her affliction, not allowing her problem or her weakness to stop her. She just keeps going. She doesn't get stuck anywhere because she sees, I have no other option. I've got to get to Jesus. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be all better. She would not be content with distance from Christ. So we see she makes her way through that crowd. And she gets close enough and she finally reaches forth and grabs his garment. She's touched him in a way that no one in that crowd has touched Jesus. Everyone else is bumping up against him. But she reached forth in faith, believing, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. And she clutched the hem of his garment. Matthew in his account says, Matthew 9:22, and the woman was made whole from that hour. We also read in Mark's account, Mark 5:29, and straightway, remember the root problem of this woman? Straightway the fountain of blood was dried up. Her root problem was fixed. You fix the root problem, you'll fix a lot of things. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She felt in her body. She felt something that she hadn't felt before. And she just knew that the problem had been taken care of. She felt in her body. Luke says in our text, verse 44, and immediately her issue of blood, which was her root problem, was stanched or stayed. 12 years of disease, 12 years of plague, 12 years of anguish, 12 years of suffering, gone because she touched Jesus Christ. He healed. He took away the root problem. 12 years of heartache gone. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Oh, what she felt that day. Jesus Christ did instantly what 12 years of doctors and expense could not do. Still so today, by the way. That day, this woman was changed. How was she changed? From the inside out. She felt in her body that she had been healed. That's how the Lord changes folks from the inside out.
Amen.
He changes the inside. The outside is the result of that. And that's what we see happens here. So this woman is not just a part of that crowd that's thronging and pressing up against him. Those who were doing so had no real soul hunger. They're just on the way to Jairus to see the Lord raise, heal the daughter of Jairus. All of those people, or many of those people in that crowd, came into contact with Jesus Christ that day. But they received no real benefit from him. I believe that's true today many times. People come into contact, but they don't receive any benefit. But this woman, she wasn't just part of that crowd. She's different. The multitude of people that are following Jesus to the house of Jairus, they're hoping to witness a miracle. She's there for a different reason. She's there to experience a miracle.
Amen.
We need to go to him every day to experience a miracle. Those in that multitude are there to see what Jesus would do. She's there with faith, knowing that he'll do something to her. Personal experience. Big difference.
Amen.
She needed a miracle in her life. That's what she was there for. You need any miracles? Do you have faith enough to see you have no other option than Him? You believe He's able? Then don't let anything stop you. Keep on pressing toward your only hope, Jesus Christ. She perseveres through that crowd. Again, if I may just but touch His clothes. She reaches forth, laid hold of His garment, and she was immediately healed. And when she touched Him, the entire procession stopped. Stops. Jairus is in a hurry. And I can imagine Jairus is thinking, Lord, we don't have time to stop. My daughter is dying. We don't have time for this. But the whole procession stops. And Jesus said in verse 45, who touched me? Who touched me? Peter responds, basically saying, Lord, there's people everywhere touching you. What are you asking us? Who touched you? And then Jesus said, verse 46, somebody has touched me. That is, somebody has touched me in a different way than anyone else in this multitude. Somebody has touched me. And then, verse 46, he says, when she did, verse 46, it says, virtue went out of him and into her. That's what she felt. Remember it said she felt in her body? She felt that virtue that flowed out of Jesus Christ into her. And what flowed out of Jesus Christ was greater than her dilemma. It was greater than her disease, greater than her suffering, and greater than her need. And what flows out of Jesus Christ tonight is greater than your situation, your circumstance, your problem, or your need. I guarantee it.
Amen.
What flows out of Him. She was immediately healed. Somebody has touched me. Then we read, remember, she's behind him. Remember, she came up behind him. And then we read, after he said, somebody has touched me, she came trembling, falling down before him. So she has now made her way in front of Jesus Christ. And she falls down, and she's trembling. She's trembling. And you read on, it says, she basically told her story. Keep in mind, Jairus, he hears the whole thing. He hears the whole thing. He's just viewing it as an interruption, but it's more than an interruption. It's to strengthen his faith as well. She told the story, which means that she told of her issue of blood. How she had been an outcast. How she had been estranged. How she had had 12 years of anguish. 12 years of torment. 12 years of sorrow. 12 years of heartache. And how that her hopes had been dashed over and over and over by the physicians. And how that she had spent everything upon physicians and had nothing left. And as she proceeds to tell the story, I'm sure she said, and after all of that, I heard of Jesus. I heard of Jesus. And I just knew that He could do for me what no one else could. And I came. And I came believing, if I can just touch your garment. She's talking to Christ. If I can just touch your garment, I would be whole. So I made my way through that crowd believing, if
I can just touch your garment, I'll be whole. And finally, I got close enough and I reached forth and touched the hem of your garment. And as soon as I did, I could feel immediately that I had been healed. And the flow of blood stopped. And then in verse 48, Jesus says directly to her, not only to encourage her and assure her, but also for the benefit of Jairus, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And oh, what joy filled her soul. I believe the way that strengthened the faith of Jairus was he heard her story and he said, 12 years. That's about the time my daughter was born. 12 years ago. He just healed her. I believe he can heal my daughter also. He got over the interruption. And we read later they would proceed to the house of Jairus. But be it known that in Jesus Christ, tonight, flowing out of Jesus Christ is power, is light, is strength, healing, and rest, and relief, and peace, and fulfillment, and victory, and joy. And I can assure you at this present moment, whatever your circumstance, the power that flows out of Jesus is greater than your circumstance. You need to see Him as your only option. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. Everything that flows out of Christ is greater than whatever your need is this evening. Whatever your need will be tomorrow. Whatever your need, if the Lord allows you to live, will be a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 10 years from now. What flows out of Christ is greater. We have to have the faith. I know that He can. And I have no other option. Hopefully we don't have to try all other options before we come to that realization. Amen. We just need the belief, He's my only option. I'm not even going to waste my time going other places. He's my only hope. He's my only option. So I ask you tonight, do you need any miracles in your life? Do you need miracles in your children's life, your grandchildren's life, people you know? We all do. We all do. And we all know the same miracle worker. Amen. Jesus Christ. We need the faith that will cause us to press toward Him that sees no other options, no other alternatives, no other course of action than Him. So look at this woman pressing toward Christ with outstretched hand. There she is, with outstretched hand. If I can just touch Him. If I can just touch Him. If I can just touch His clothes. I know I'll be whole. May that be our life. Reaching out. Pressing through all the obstacles. All the difficulties. Reaching out, if I can just touch Him, I'll be whole. If you're here without Christ tonight, it's exactly what you need to do tonight. You need to lay hold of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lay hold of it. It's your only hope, sinner. There is no other hope. There is no other option. Oh, that God would grant you the life and the faith to see that tonight. He is your only hope. Grab hold. Trust Him. Trust His work. Not your work. His work. Trust Him. Not your person. His person. Touch Him. Again, every night we've stressed this. We need this faith that sees no other option. Do you have that faith tonight? Do you want that faith? Lord, would you give us that faith that just keeps us pressing toward Christ? Do you need a miracle in your life? Press on toward Jesus Christ. The answer isn't over here. The answer isn't over here. The answer isn't back there. The answer is Jesus Christ. Keep pressing toward Him. God bless. Brother.
Let's stand.